Jeff Barker, man. Welcome. I'm sorry for being late. Like, I've literally had people, I got here on 35, and 35's quite the bitch on Friday, man.
All good. All good, man. You got business to take care of.
Yeah, and then I just had a knock on the door, and I'm like, dude, I probably shouldn't have taken 1 hour to do this. So,
but whenever I do the show from home, like, my dog is quiet all day. Like, the mailman never drops anything off, no Amazon packages. And then the second that I get on at like 3:03, everything is just exploding. My phone's ringing, like, packages my wife ordered that she didn't want me to see or getting dropped off. Just like all kinds of crazy crap's going on.
So I had a good business deal in Round Rock, and I'm going to be done by 2 p.m. Right. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, BK, I can do 3 to 4. I've got a 5. And I'm like, all good. And of course, 35's quite the B, you know.
What part of town are you in?
Pardon me?
What part of town are you in?
I live in Hyde Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So used to be North Austin, now it's Central North Austin. So I'm in the Alphabet City in that area. Great place. I love it. But yeah, I mean, it was quite the trip getting back here, and then I get knocking on the door, and our guy gives me a smoke alarm, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
this couldn't wait.
Yeah. And he was like, I'll put it in. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'm on a Zoom right now. He's like, all right. You know, so
that's always a fun part about being on this too, is like, you have to say like, I'm on a Zoom. Cause if it's a random person at the door, they're not going to, like, unless they're fans, which hopefully they are, and they're watching or listening.
Yeah.
They have, like, no idea. Like I'm on a YouTube show right now.
Well,
like,
Oscar,
if they're young, they'll get it.
Yeah. Oscar knows that, like, I'm on Zooms, and that could be like a real estate deal, or it could be I'm on a, you know, pretty heavily watched, you know, podcast. And so it's like, dude is like, I'm sorry. I'm like, all good, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, well, how are you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. Just hoping for some good weather tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hoping for a Texas baseball win tonight. Hoping I can just get everything I want this weekend. I feel like you're probably in the same boat.
Yeah. I don't know about the baseball win, but, yeah.
Are you just over it with them?
No, I mean, I'm a long-term guy. So, yeah.
But realistic expectations for how this season will likely end. I mean, where are you at with the short term though, even though you're a lifer and a diehard no matter what?
I'm definitely a lifer, but also long term, being that if you are if you really care about long term expectations and really want it to be long term, then maybe you don't want them to win. But I can't root against them either. So I'm in that weird spot, you know.
So you're just kind of watching, like,
whatever happens, like, happens.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that's a nice, peaceful spot to be.
It's a weird spot. Like, Chad and I were doing a post-game or a pre-game watch party post-game at Pluckers. And when Kansas hit the field goal, Charlie Strong, he's like, dude, I've never seen you be less pissed off over a Texas loss. And I go, bro, it is what it is. And long term, it may be better. And that's where Texas baseball has been for me for 8 years, and definitely now.
Yeah, there's just all the signs are kind of pointing to that, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I can never root against them. So, like, I just can't. I mean, I've tried to, and I can't in every sport. But I'm also, you know, they're the Yankees of college baseball. USC is the best dynasty of all time with Rod, Dato, and Dart. So we can get into that. But over 110 years, Texas, and they're
got you there, Katie. Well, Katie gets back up and running. Yeah, CB, Tuesday versus UTRGV. 2016 Kansas vibes. No doubt. I, like KD said too, he remembers exactly where he was at doing a pregame and postgame show with Chad when that one happened. So Yeah, that was a bad one. But with this baseball team, it's just brutal right now. I mean, you don't know what you're getting any given day. So for those of you that, you know, that are watching, listening, that root for Texas baseball and your diehards keeping up with the team, I mean, it's just tough because, you know, you can't. Oh, let's see if I can get KD back in here.
Sorry.
No worries. They're saying your maintenance guy did that to you, just sabotaged you.
No, like I've got two laptops and both are on the, you know, both I've been working and I couldn't use for this. So I'm using my phone and I'm getting a bunch of work calls and I'm like, don't call me for the next hour. All right.
You're like, can I just have 1 hour?
Yeah, give me 1 hour. And so when I'm on my phone like this, it kind of goes out. But yeah, I mean, I can never root against Texas. I just can't. But they are, you know, baseball wise, I'll be honest, swimming and diving and baseball, they are number one all time. Everything else, like, you know, you're a USC guy and a Texas guy. USC's probably three all time football. With what Saban did, and we can get into that. They're one. Notre Dame's two. Texas is probably 6, 7, 8 around there, which is great. Maybe 5. But baseball, they are in 110, 20, 30 years. And, you know, they should not be in this spot. And there are a lot of things the last, you know, I grew up with Gus and Augie, and the fundamentals were so good. And even during bad times with Gus and Darren and even Augie early on, there've been a lot of things that have frustrated me. And I also, let me say this, Jeff, you probably know this. You probably like him. I like David Pierce a lot. Yeah. So, and I think he's a good coach. So he's coming into a program that had four coaches for 120 years that were all Hall of Famers. So it's a really tough spot, you know?
No, it is. And I think, I mean, like you said, it's a perfect way of putting it. Just Texas should never be in this position. Like a bad season here and there, we get it.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, he kind of had, like, he got that one pass a couple years ago with the bad season. And yep. they bounce back great. Like, it's not like he hasn't had success a couple years ago.
Agreed. You
know, with Ivan Melendez. They're,
yeah.
They're basically one win. I mean, in inning, two innings away, however you want to put it, from going to the championship series in Omaha.
Yeah. Yep.
But there's just been too many times where, you know, 2-Q in Omaha. And he, like, even when they got there, it wasn't enough, or like they weren't competitive. Or the times that they didn't get there, and then how bad the really bad seasons were,
right?
Have just been brutal. And like I said a couple minutes ago, before you got back on, it's like the highs and lows with this team. I mean, you could go like bring it all the way into as recent as just within the last week. The game Sunday, what happened even last Friday, you know, in the opener, and then all the way back to like. It feels so long ago that this team lost 3 in Houston, you know, to some really good teams, but still kind of embarrassing the way it happened. And then like they started 7-1. It's like this team is just, it's just a constant roller coaster and a constant mind F. And there's certain teams that have been like that. I mean, in any sport, we've all rooted for a team like that at some point, but then most of the time you're like, all right, well, maybe there's hope, you know, like, all right, well, if they figure it out. I had that with this team for a little bit. I had that with the basketball team, and they at least won a game and were maybe a couple threes away from beating Rick Barnes and going to the second weekend again. But this team, like, we've reached a point where you're like, it's just not going to happen with this team. And I would love to be proven wrong, but like, I don't know how anybody could look at this and what you saw Tuesday. And then even Sunday, like, they've had these little moments where you see the talent and they pop. You're like, that's not sustainable. Hitting 17 home runs in the ninth inning of a game against the last place team in the league and finding a way to win. Like, that's not sustainable.
Yep. No, I mean, you nailed it there. And a lot of it too is like any program. So if the Texas rowing team has a bad year, it's like, you know, I mean, not only interest, but also what you've done. And so Texas baseball of the top three sports is always going to be judged harsher. It just will, dude. I mean, they've had four coaches outside of World War II where one guy came in and took over 2 years, and they're all Hall of Famers. Like, I'm not kidding around. They are the Yankees of college baseball. Like, they, outside of all-time championships. But Kentucky's a better program than UCLA in basketball, right?
Yeah.
In terms of 110 years, like, Kentucky, like, just hired Mark Pope. You're going to be judged harsher. It's why Calipari left. And it's why Augie almost didn't make it here. Like, he, you know, I mean, he got that close. Then he won two and should have won three and played for five.
You're saying make it like the length and the tenure that he had where he became a legend? Like, it almost didn't get to that point?
I mean, he was already a legend. He won three at Cal State Fullerton.
And, well, like a legend in Austin, at least.
Yeah, in Austin, right. I mean, dude, 97, he comes in, and they were 22 and something or whatever. 22 and 29, I believe. And they struggled. It was 2000 where Ray Clark throws a two-hitter or three-hitter at Arizona State, the Super Regional. And it was like, it blew up after that. And 02, they won it. 05, they win it. 04, they should have. 03, they finished third. 09, they should have. But LSU cheats at everything, so they're shaving back. but different story. But it got that close. And Augie and I became really good friends. And, like, for that guy who's won three national championships at Cal State Fullerton, you're from California, bro. Like, dude, nobody would know that school if it wasn't for Augie fucking Garrido.
I mean, it's a commuter school. Honestly, yes. It's kind of, and I always hate saying that because I feel like it has a bad, like.
No, but Jeff, you're exactly right, dude. Right. And you know it better than we do.
Well, and that's, and maybe I'm wrong on this. I know that's true about Cal State Fullerton, but like UH kind of seemed like it was like that. But UH,
it's a total commuter school.
But UH even has like an elevated, you know, and then Andre Ware. Like, I mean, they've had a little more national notoriety, and also like they have a football team. Cal State Fullerton, they don't even have a football team. Like, that is, and again, no, I mean, like,
Cal State Fullerton is UT Rio Grande Valley, who just beat us by 10, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's funny you brought that up about Fullerton, because I think we were like at the Moody Center at a basketball game, and somebody, I can't remember who it was, but we were talking about baseball. They brought up Augie. And I mean, I didn't know Augie personally, but I said to them, I go,
he was the best, man. He was the best. I was like,
how freaking crazy is it? It's absolutely insane. He won three national titles at Cal State Fullerton.
And beat UT 3-1 in 84. UT should have won three in a row. Their best team under Gus was 82, and they lost. 83, they won it. 84, they lost in the championship game to Cal State Fullerton 3-1. And Augie pulled the trick on us, man. And 85, we should have won. Had two games to beat Miami. Lost 2-1. Bill Bates, my favorite athlete of all time. Michael Jordan's number two, to give you that. Dropped Billy Bates, not Bill Bates, the safety from Tennessee, played for the Cowboys, nickelback. Dropped a fly ball in foul territory. And I'm 7 years old at Craig Fields with my parents at a softball game. And we heard it on the radio. And I just started dying crying. I'm like, what? And they lost 10-6 the next day. And like, to this day, every loss I've had as a fan, the 1985 loss, two losses to Miami in the College World Series, breaks my heart more than anything. And outside of the 1996 Bulls team, my favorite team of all time that I have, I've done everything photographically and set up on my PS5 now, which plays PS2 games, is the 1985 Texas baseball team.
there's some losses like that that just like define, dude, the type of sports fan that you become.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the, like, actually, I don't know if I had one in particular. I mean, this is way in the weeds, but like I was a diehard USC basketball fan.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like the games were just never on TV. And I mean, my parents told me not, I grew up going to like USC baseball camp at Dado Field, you know, them talking about all that. And like, oh, this is like, you know, most championships, a dozen College World Series championships, national championships. But for me, like, I never saw that. I never experienced it. But for my parents, like, my dad finished his last 2 years at SC after junior college and, like, lived that a little bit in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, like, towards the end of it. But for me, like, I mean, they haven't done anything my entire life. But, yeah, they I would just say.
98. That was a pretty good run there.
That's like, true. I was, like,
1 year.
I was but five, like, so I don't really remember.
But the run you had with Dado, I mean, there's no question. I mean, people ask me, I'm like, by far the best dynasty in college baseball history is Rod Dado in that run, period. Yeah.
But also, that's what's so fun about college sports is, like you said, Texas is the Yankees. USC could have the best dynasty. And, like, not I don't know, you could break it up into little parts, too, to where, like, just because you don't have the most championships doesn't mean that, you know, like, you're not one of the top one, two, three programs.
Right. But also, I mean, I put USC so far up there because, like, UCLA basketball, UCLA should not be a top five basketball program all time. Dude, by far, they have the best dynasty. It's not even close. Like, we wouldn't. Like, you can't, you know, you can talk about Sam Gilbert and why they got Lou Alcindor from Power Memorial and Lucius, you know, all that. But, like, it's still the best dynasty of all time, period.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's what's so much fun is, like, all those things can be true at the same time. That's
yeah, right.
Beauty of sports, but especially college sports, too.
Totally agree. Yeah, so with UT baseball, like, I'm definitely, I mean, I can never root against them, but, like, I'm in a weird apathetic spot to where whatever happens, happens. And it's like at the end of a relationship, you know, and it's like, dude, like, I want it to work out, but if it doesn't, you know, whatever.
So are you comparing it to, like, when my ex dumped me, like, 7 years ago, and then I still had to live in the place for like, a month before I could get my own spot?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going that far because I've lived with exes, too, and, like, we're still in the same spot. I'm like, oh, this is awful. More like, you know what? If she doesn't get her shit together or I don't, then we'll see what happens. Or if we can figure stuff out, that'd be great too, you know?
On that note, do you, not to put you on the spot, but like, cause I know you said we both really like Pierce. I think he's a good coach, good guy.
He's a good guy too.
Yeah. But do you have like anybody in mind where you're like, okay, like, you know, if this happens, then like, this is who I would want to bring in.
Yeah, definitely Tina. I like a lot. I like Sheila and Erica is fucking awesome. But no, I haven't thought about it. So I would go Eric Bakich at Clemson, who took Michigan to a College World Series. If you can get Link Jarrett, which I doubt, who I remember watching as a kid. So I was a T-shirt fan for Florida State in football and baseball and basketball even. Nice. Because Texas blue, like, when I was growing up, like, not in baseball, but in football and pretty much basketball. So Charlie Ward was one of my favorite athletes of all time. So I became a huge Florida State fan in 86 with Deion Sanders. But I followed their football, basketball, and baseball program. And Link Jarrett was a shortstop there in the early 90s and Bakich won at Michigan, has won at Clemson, and Link Jarrett won at Notre Dame in baseball. Dude, you and I could go play softball at a better field than the Notre Dame baseball field right now. Like, you win at Notre Dame in baseball or Michigan in baseball, it's like, all right, you can do something. And now he's at Florida State, had a bad first year, is kicking ass this year. Link Jarrett can flat out fucking coach, and so can Bakich. Those two guys, you come in, and I've talked with a couple of the NIL people, and, you know, we're going to get baseball to where it needs to be. And which, you know, in fairness to David Pierce, it has not been there, which is why Paul Skeens went to LSU. He was offered $250 here, wanted to come here, and LSU with Marucci gave him $500, and they won a national championship. So there you go, y'all. But like we're going to get that where it needs to be. But we have to get the coach there too. And the fact that David lost that his whole coaching staff last year, like really?
Well, and like, you don't even need to know the details of the situation to look at it and go,
and we don't need to get into it. I think you and I know, but we don't need to, you know?
No, I know. I'm just saying like on the surface, like losing the pitch, like getting rid of Woody as the pitching coach and then becoming the pitching coach. And then LeBaron Johnson Jr. goes from a potential draft pick who comes back to a guy that you literally have to bench because he can't make it through three innings in a conference start or more than three innings. Like, I don't know. To me, it's just like at a certain point, you just look at it, you look at that and it's like, well, that's indisputable and it's right in front of you. And you don't even have to follow this program to know that.
Yep.
And you're ready to rip your hair out just because I brought it up again. You
know? No, I mean, luckily I'm Irish, so I've got a lot. you do too, man. You're looking good. You got a full head of hair, don't you?
Well, I do right now, and I got the TV mop going on for later tonight.
Are you working tonight? You doing TV? By the way, you know I love Bob. I met you at the Irwin Center for the first time. We should go hang out, but yeah. Bob loves you. And I think y'all are the best sports guys on TV in Austin. Sorry.
We appreciate that.
But, you have a full mop here. You doing the whole TV thing?
Yeah. And I even had to go, a little hairspray today just cause it's so damn humid. No.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got a bike ride today at 7, had meetings all fucking day. And, dude, I called this guy who I know is probably 250 pounds. And I'm like, dude, I'm sweating like a whore in church. And he's like, you're like a buck 65. He's like, how do you think I feel today? And I'm like, dude, I'm wearing a suit though. So I got out of it, you know, when I got home and the humidity was awful today.
So bad. So bad. Was the best part about you going from TV to radio that you didn't have to worry about any of that shit anymore? The suit or the hair?
I mean, yeah, probably. More because I was at ESPN and they just got way too woke. And you can probably tell watching me and knowing me that I'm not a super... And I say woke, that's not a liberal conservative deal. Like, I'm just, you know... I just speak my mind. Yeah. And it got to a point where, you know, they were over the top and I called them out on stuff and it just didn't work out. So, but I mean, dude, I mean, I look back on it now with the economy, I probably should have stayed there and just sweated it out. But yeah, I mean, that was probably a lot of it. You know, with TV, it's like, there's a lot that goes into it besides the, you got to remember, like, so I started writing, producing, and doing the Longhorn Extra show, but that was an hour show. So 44 minutes TRT, as Jeff and I would call it, I hate all these acronyms. We were like, what's TRT? Total running time, meaning that's the actual thing outside of commercials.
Well, SOT is the one that's the most outdated now.
Oh, dude.
Like,
can I get a BOSOT and a SOT on the TRT? And then I'm like, dude.
At least the VO part actually holds true still. Like, just video over, voice over, whatever like it stands for.
Right.
Like, different places, but like sound on tape.
But why not say voiceover?
Yeah.
Like,
or at least just be like, hey, can I
get hard to say that compared to VO?
But maybe that's just what we do in TV is we just make unnecessary.
No.
Acronyms.
So I'll tell you this. So I was at Morgan Stanley after that. I'm doing, you know, real estate job, which I love now, which I'd done before, but every industry uses acronyms to make themselves sound smarter, cooler, and more exclusive to where you don't want to get in here, man. We got a VOSOP, a TRT, and you know, it's like, no, I can explain this within 10 minutes to all y'all on all three industries.
Yeah.
And finance is the worst. Finance, I'm at Morgan Stanley. I'm, you know, past the 7, doing the 6-6, and they're giving all these acronyms. And my dad did that for a living. And I was literally doing finance with sports. So I was recruiting athletes and signing all these players from Alabama, Georgia, USC, Texas. And they would use all these acronyms in meetings. And I'm like, bro, like, I just took the test. Like, just fucking say the word, all right? Stop being a fucking douchebag. And, you know, what I've realized is I probably shouldn't have taken chemo at 18. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But no, like, all these people that have made a lot of money and are in these industries, like, are just being douchebags. And I'm like, stop. Like, just be a good human being. And if someone beats you out at your job, then so be it. But don't be the angry 9-year-old at the, you know, at the lunch table.
That's a great analogy. Oh, man. No, I totally agree with all that. And you still see it. I mean, I'm obviously still on TV now. You still see a lot of, the nonsense.
I mean, this, like, you do a great job, dude. You and you know, I've loved Bob, and we've been friends for a long time. But I told him, I'm like, dude, Barker is fucking nails. He's good. Like, he's like, dude, you never say that about anyone. I'm like, I mean it. So,
I appreciate you saying that. You gonna be out there tomorrow? Speaking of muggy and humid.
Yeah, I may. There's a Persian chick I really like in Occupy left field, so I may go out there. I'm still looking, Jeff. I'm still looking, even at 45.
Hey, there's one out there for you. And you know what? If you don't want there to be one out there for you, that, I know plenty of guys that works for too.
Well, it's worked for me. It's funny. People would be like, you know, dude, you're doing well. You're making money. You know, you're not too bad looking. And, you know, it's like,
what does that mean? You're not too bad looking?
No, I mean, I'm being more, you know, maybe more humble there. But they're like, why are you single? And I'm like, I'm not going to force it. But there is one Persian chick who's been out there who is younger, in her 30s, but I'm a big fan of, so.
Well, at least the upside to a loss would be.
I told Mark and Jeff, if she's out there, call me, all right?
You know, a little upside to the loss, a potential loss would be, hey, you know, tough day. Let's have a beer, need to hang out.
Here's the one thing, though.
A little sympathy beer when you're down and out. You guys can bond over that.
So, Jeff, how old are you?
31.
All right. That's what I thought. You were late 20s, early 30s. I can't do shots anymore, man. Nah. And I didn't do shots well even in college. But, like, so they're doing all these shots, and I'm like, bro, I can't. And then I get peer pressured. I mean, luckily I live 5 minutes away, but I get peer pressured and do it. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to do a fireball shot. I won't. You know?
Oh, that's what they're doing out there?
And they're all great. And they don't, you know, it's not like they're, you know, hit me over the head. But they're like, KD, like, do a fucking shot. You know, you don't even park here because you live 5 minutes away and you Uber here whether you drink or not. And I'm not a big beer guy either. So I have, like, one Miller Lite over 9 innings. And they're like, take a fucking shot. I'm like, dude, I just don't want to. So,
in the, like, tailgate, rip a shot of tequila or Fireball and then immediately just go back to your Miller Lite. Like, that is,
I can't.
That's like to me, that's either college kid behavior or it's just I mean, I don't want to use the word psychotic, but, like,
yeah,
I guess, like,
kind of.
I mean, to me, I'm just like, holy crap. Like I could do a couple shots of tequila still, but then it's got to be like straight back to like a ranch water. Like we've got to totally keep some level of consistency. I can't do that and then just like go back to my seventh beer. It's not even the I see it headache material in the comments. I'm still good at this age to where I don't really get the headache or anything. It's the stomach, man. Like I can't do that like to my stomach.
I don't get drunk. I don't get a headache. I mean, I've got 2 packs of these at all times. Like, I mean, I drink, and it's more my, system and stomach to where, so I'm a pussy. I'll be the first one to admit that, where I just drink a ton of fucking water every day. And like, even in college, I just could not do shots, man. And, which is lame. I mean, I'm the first one to admit I'm lame on that. And I always have been. My system has been. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, it is what it is. And those guys are totally fine. So, like.
Yeah. No, that's impressive. And the vibe.
I wish I was that guy, especially as a Mick, too,
Yeah.
Mick, Kevin Kelly, Don, they're like, dude. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I wish the genes would have worked out that way, but they don't. So,
but those guys are all awesome out there, and I'm happy. Oh,
they're great. They're great people.
Like, I'm happy for Texas to go to the SEC, but especially from a baseball standpoint, I'm happy for those fans.
Yeah,
Mark and all those guys that are out there all the time. Like
Mark and Jeff. Let's give Jeff some love.
Yeah, yeah. Mark and Jeff and all those guys deserve that. Like what they've built out there. All the crap that they dealt with too, with, stuff before CDC got here and all, I mean, I'm sure people on here are diehard Longhorn fans that bleed burnt orange, that, like probably know that or seen that, like all that they put up with, still root for that team. Some of the ups and downs too, like they deserve the SEC atmospheres and they deserve like those SEC road trips too, should they take them. Cause I know Mark travels quite a bit I bring him up the most just cause I see him on Twitter, obviously.
Mark is the, Mark Pena and Jeff Cross are the ones that created that. Jeff played baseball here at UT from 82, I think to 85. Mark and I were the same year and played Little League football together. And Mark always the story. He's like, dude, he's like, so I wouldn't take shots. And Mark's like, dude, what are you? I'm like, dude, I'm just telling you my system. I can't do that. He's like, stop being a pussy. And he's like, you're the guy I knew. So when we played, I would bang my helmet against my head and start bleeding. What? Like in fourth and fifth grade. I'm like, let's fucking go, motherfuckers.
Like, you were just like, that fired up, or this was like an intimidation tactic?
Both. But more fired up. And he's like, dude, he's like, Katie's the craziest guy I know. I'm like, no, I'm really not. And we went to college together. We were in the sequence and communications together. And I'm like, I'm not that crazy. I'm like, but like in sports, like, let's go. And he's like, you won't take a shot of Fireball? I'm like, all right, give me the fucking shot,
But you'll bash your helmet on your head.
I mean, he always claims that. I don't remember that. I mean, I really don't. I do remember, like, in sports, like, I would kind of fire myself up. And I do remember a couple of times, and he was like, dude, you were bleeding from your forehead. I'm like, whatever.
But that's the best part about youth sports, high school sports, is, like, the stories that evolve over time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure my interception count keeps going up and up every year.
I would have known if I was bleeding from my head. And Pena always gives that story. He's like, dude, you're bashing your helmet over your head in fourth grade. And I'm like, I don't think I would have done that. Like, I was with two seamers came into me in seventh grade. I was a pussy. I'm like, whoa, I was like, yeah. I don't think I was that guy. But
stories take on a life of their own.
Yeah, but I talked to a couple other people who are like, dude, I played football with you in seventh and eighth grade. Like, you were I broke 3 collarbones in seventh grade. So apparently I was not the nicest kid that I remember. I think I'm probably deleting memories that I want to, as a nice 45-year-old Christian human being who tries to treat people very well, you know.
Yeah, now that you're like a functioning adult, you're like, I don't want to admit that I did that in my past.
Yeah. I ran into a guy, I broke his collarbone. We did 2 360s and I threw him up in the air, and which was totally legal back then. And he came down on his collarbone and broke it. He came up to me probably 3 months ago and was like, "Hey, are you Kevin Dunn?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm not going to give his name." He's like, "Do you remember the kid that you did 2 360s with and threw up in the air? The quarterback?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "That's me." I'm like, "Dude, I am so sorry for that." He's like, he started laughing. He's like, "Dude, everything you did was legal back then." He's like,
I thought he was going to go on some sob story about like, "Lost my scholarship because of you, man."
No.
It was never the same.
He was a little kid. He was like, "Dude," he's like, "I've listened to you, watched you. You're an awesome guy. And I'm doing really well. I've got 3 kids. And I was like, "Dude, I'm so glad to hear that." Like, it actually made me feel really good because I thought about that before. And I'm like, "Dude, what were you doing?" But I was fucking 12. I didn't know.
So many people that, I mean, I know we're like, we're not totally the same age, but I still played probably the end of football when it was still rough. Exactly. Like, I was trying to like see like the nice way of putting it. Like, you could still do stuff like that, and it wasn't against the rules. Like, I would dive at guys. I was a smaller guy. I played on the outside, and I always played up. Like, I was a pretty solid player, but I would dive at guys' knees. Like, guys hated me because I was the leg tackler, and I was like, "Well, you know what? Like, they'd get up and be like, oh, that's
totally legal."
Yeah, they would get up and be like, "That's cheap. That's cheap seven," you know, and like give me shit. And I'm like, "Well, dude, you're 245 pounds and you're going to play tight end at UCLA."
Yeah.
And I'm 175 pounds.
Yeah.
And I have 2 Division III offers.
Yep.
You know, which don't give scholarships, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah, so I'm going to dive at your ankles, pal. Sorry. Jump over me."
So it's funny, this guy, I'm like, "Dude, let me grab you a beer. Can I get your family your meal?" He's like, "Dude," he's like, "I've listened to you." He's like, you're a good dude." He's like, "We're all good." I'm like, "Well, let me get you a beer." He's like, "Cool." And we started talking. I'm like, so I was bigger than he was. And it was the last play of the game. It was also middle school. Come flooding through the A gap, and he was a smaller guy, and he was pretty nimble, and he gets away, but I get him by the shirt tail, and we just go boom, 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 and he wouldn't go down, and I just go, and he looked like a helicopter in the air, and he comes down on his collarbone and breaks it. And the ball goes flying out. And it's 1990, dude. I'm doing the Daniel Stubbs, Miami, then Cowboys.
Oh, that's great.
And his mom mean mugged me after, like, during the handshake line. And I was like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. Like, we're just playing football." But the fact that he came up and said that to me, like, it was almost like, what was that NBC show back in the 90s where, like, the guy had to repent on everything and go back to all the people he had harmed his whole life and be like, "I'm sorry."
That was your football career?
No. I mean, no. Because, I got beat up more than I beat people up, certainly after that. But like, it just kind of like, it made me feel better. And he's like, "Dude," he's like, "collarbone's fine. I've done very well. I'm in insurance and I'm doing very well." And I'm like, "All right, good." He's like, "I've got 3 kids and a family." I'm like, "All right, cool." Like, but.
You're like, "Now you can finally sleep at night knowing it didn't ruin your life."
Yeah. And that's probably where most people aren't in life, or too many people aren't in life, that have gotten ahead and are making money, that I've realized at Morgan Stanley, ESPN, CBS, radio, you name it. they can sleep at night. And I get sense with you and Bob and Trey and people I know that, like, dude, we can't sleep at night if you've screwed someone over. Like, you know, so, like, I was like, dude, all good. Like, I, you know, I can remember that helicopter deal as a good memory now.
That's awesome.
He was laughing. He was like, dude, he's like, I had no idea you asked me like that. I'm like, bro, you know. Welcome to the West Side.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. That's great. Well, I don't think we're going to see any of that tomorrow, given that it's a spring game. But we better not see any of that tomorrow, I guess I should say, but on any of the Texas quarterbacks. But
so what is Chicago? Is it Chicago? Is that it?
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, yeah. What is she saying about? Because I knew that there was a good chance there was going to be a lot of rain during the day and Bianca would put something out. We should get that in though, right?
Yeah. And what Bianca had said to the Statesman earlier this week was basically just that, like, they're not going to reschedule it, which obviously, like,
right.
I mean, you and I understand that, like, that, yeah. I mean, you know, next week, like, who knows what Sark's going to be doing? Like, portal's still open. He'll probably be at the draft on, yeah. Well, I don't know if any of the Longhorns are going to be in the green room, but you know he'll be on draft duty.
I think Iron is, right?
I gotta look. I gotta double check again. But if one of those guys is, then I mean he'll obviously be there. So there's just all kinds. I mean he was there last year with Bijan. So yeah, there's just no way that they can like reschedule it. You can't just be like, yo, we'll do it again next Saturday. And especially all the Longhorn city limits, the you know the band, like I can't remember who's playing, but the musical act they get to come in, all the different events around it, like it's happening that day, or it's not happening at all. But I gotta double check with Chicago again because I'm not sure if
great. I did meet her once quickly, and like she was the nicest person.
Oh yeah,
like it, nicest woman in person. Where I'm like, you're legit, you know?
Yeah. No, she's awesome, and yeah, I'll check with her a little bit.
Like after Walt, this. Too. Walt follows me on Twitter. Walt's a, like y'all have a good thing going, man.
I've been like honestly, I've been so lucky. I've worked at two stations. My first market in Jackson, they were one of the top stations in the market. Salt of the earth anchors, great bosses. Like, and I'm not just saying that because we're you know we got a red light on and we're broadcasting this right now. But like I really have been super fortunate. That's true. Well, there's the red banner is what I see on mine right here. It says it's live. So, but yeah, no, I've been super lucky to work with great people because that's not you know any business, but
yeah,
TV with the egos and all that, it's not always the case.
No, I mean, I'll say Greg Amzinger is one of the biggest dickheads, assholes, sociopaths I've ever met. Adam Zucker.
He's got gray hair.
Yeah, he's a fucking douchebag. He should die tomorrow. Adam Zucker, same company at CBS. Great fucking guy. And I'll say most people I've worked with in radio and TV are really good people, man.
I met Zucker one time at SEC Media Days when I was in Jackson.
He's a great fucking guy, man.
Yeah, like there's no way he would remember it, but he could not have been nicer. I mean, I was like a year and a half into my career, and I just went up to him, was just like, man, love your work, you're awesome, like that kind of thing, you know. Which I'm sure guys like that get all the time, you know, when you're on national TV.
But you know what? If I called Zook tonight and like, hey, did a podcast with a guy, he'd probably remember you. Like Adam Zucker was that good of a guy. And I only bring up Amzinger. One, he deserves it. He's a total fucking prickhead. But there were actually few and far between for my life. I mean, hell, like Lowell and I are still friends. Like Lowell's a good guy. Like, I mean, most of the people I worked with have actually been pretty good. It's more the executives who can be dickheads in radio and TV and finance and real estate, whatever, you know?
Well, sometimes I guess it's just that money and, you know, sitting up there in the clouds, they just get a little out of touch probably.
Yeah, you do. And, it, you hit the nail on the head. Most people that, like, can even be good people and then start to make a little bit of money, like, I don't know what it does to them. And I haven't made a ton of money, but I've made more money than I have. And, like, I don't think I changed. And probably that's cancer at 18 and also, like, like, it's not worth it. We're all going to be dead soon, you know, like relatively speaking, to where it's like if I was going to live for 400 years, maybe I'd become a dickhead if I made a bunch of money. But we're all going to be dead within 80 years of our lifetime or around there. And it's like, just treat people well. And maybe it's the Christian part of me and just the, you know, where I'm like, you just can't, like, and the karma part of me, like, you can't do that to people. Like, why would you, you know?
Well, and I mean, like in sports, like we're all covering the same things 90% of the time. Like, I mean, some of the guys that I competed against, two of them were literally in my wedding party a couple months ago.
That's cool.
You know, I mean, cause we compete and it's like, hey, I want to get this feature. I want to get these other, you know, maybe a scoop, like, I don't know, a good interview. But when somebody else gets it and you don't, it's like, damn, I'm like, good for you, man. That was great. I'm just more motivated to get it the next time. And yeah. I'm sure like in different fields, like those things may affect, like directly affect your job security or your livelihood. And of course in TV over the course of time, they might, but like, it's never to the point where, you know, like it's going to affect friendships or anything. Cause I think most of us don't take our job seriously because we like our jobs and we want to keep them and keep paying bills. But like at the end of the day, most of us don't take ourselves too seriously. It's the occasional like bad apple, which is probably just like anything.
No, I mean, the one funny thing is doing the different stuff I've done is I started doing radio in 1994 at 15. And so I've done radio, TV, national TV, play-by-play, studio. I mean, I've done a lot of shit. And then finance and real estate before and then now. And, you know, I mean, there are bad apples everywhere. Find the good apples and be able to decipher the good and the bad, you know. And but also, I say life's short, so you shouldn't do that. But also, don't worry about it. Like, there are going to be bad people. You know, there's 8.5 that we know calculated, I think, billion people in the world. Like, there are going to be some bad people. And there's a lot of great people like you and Bob Ballou, who I love, and pretty much everyone I know at CBS or local CBS.
You sound like my wife telling me to stop worrying about the bad drivers on the road. It's going to be bad drivers. Some people suck at driving.
So I called the buddy yesterday. I'm like, dude, I honked 4 times coming home. He's like, what are you honking for? He's like, it's not going to do anything. I go, if there's a middle lane and you're going left and I've got a left, you've got to know what that is. And also, don't pull out. And he's like, dude. Kev, he's like, just relax, bro. Just calm down. Like, you're going to be okay.
Sounds like we both have that trait then.
I felt like such an 8-year-old because this guy is like so, I don't know, above me and just like in terms of, you know, just a calm figure in life. I was like, well, if you've got a left and you're going left and I'm going left here, there's a middle lane and we got to share. And he's like, dude, breathe, calm down. Think about your parents and all your friends and God and life. And I'm like, I'm like, all right, dude, appreciate the talk at 45. Glad to see that I still need those talks, you know. But
hey, we all do.
Yeah. But I'm like, you're right. I'm like, hey, you know, but I'm on like Mopac a bunch. Was on 35 earlier. I will say this, like, you're coming from California. So when I was a kid in the 80s, Austin, there was no traffic. So you can get from Westlake up 360 and Shannon Oaks, where I live, to Robert Miller, not Mueller. It's Miller. It's German. It's Miller Airport or development within 8 minutes. On a Tuesday during the day.
Yeah.
which it would take probably 25 minutes now. But drivers were awful in Austin then. And they're not great now, but I would think with all this influx of all these people, driving would get better. I understand congestion gets worse, but driving would get better. And I feel like we're just getting worse drivers now. Is that more congestion or am I wrong with that?
No. And I mean, I agree with you about the congestion. Like if we all just keep driving, like I get that we're not going to go, you know, 75 on 35 at 4:45 on a Friday. Like I get that.
Yeah.
Like, can we go 40? Like, can we just keep everybody going 40?
Yep.
So yeah, I think too, it's like the, not to go old man, but it's all, you know.
No, go old man. Go
no,
old
no, it's everybody on the everybody on their phone. And look, we're all guilty of it. Like I can say, like I make it a point to not.
I'm actually not, dude.
Well, I make it a point to not text and drive, but I would be totally lying if I didn't like keep my phone in the passenger seat if I didn't like reach over at a stoplight and be let's see what like dumbass like golf bets I made. Like, let's see how screwed those are right now. You know, I check a score.
I'm guilty, not on golf bets, but on stoplights, I will look over and check a missed call I had. But I had a business guy, he's like, dude, I'm like, dude, I'm driving to lunch and I'll call you in 15 minutes. He's like, you don't talk on the phone? I go, no, I don't do the earplugs or the
Bluetooth.
Yeah. And thank God, because that was part of the 3 or 4 honks I had where someone's just pulling out. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, you know,
that was my rant today on the way in, on the way to the station was if I have a green light, you can pull out in front of me. That's fine. But if I have to stop and slow down because of you, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you think you have enough time to pull in front of me quickly and hit it in time to get going the speed limit, all out. Yep. So be it.
Yeah.
But there's just so many times where like people pull out and then just go slow as hell. And I look behind me in my rearview mirror. There's no one behind me. I'm like, all you have to do is wait one car to make that right turn.
I know. I mean, I literally had 4 honks. One was coming from B Caves to Mopac, and this fucking cunt, and I only use the C word because she's in a Mercedes and has probably never worked a day in her life, and cut me off. I'm like, what's up, bitch? And some fucking dude in between Westover and Windsor just cuts over, and I'm like, what's up, bro? And then I get to get on Westover, and some chick, don't know what was going on, but pulls out in a BMW in the right-hand lane, but almost cut me off on the left-hand, and I'm like, what are you doing? And then some dude, douchebag, so I'll give that to make sure everything's good, right here near the alphabets, pulls over in the left-hand lane, which is a mutual lane. So I may be going left, you may be going left. But once we get here, and gets over way too quickly. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And I'm blaring the horn. I call my buddy. He's like, bro, you got to breathe, man. He's like, just honking the horn. You punked 3 or 4 times in 10 miles. It's like, you're all good. I'm like, I know, but it felt like I was venting. But also, I mean, all 4 were dangerous, too. And I was in the right. And I've been in the wrong. And when I'm in the wrong, guess what I do right away? I'm sorry. Can I pay for, like, can I take you and your family to Uchico? I'm so sorry. They're all like, man. I'm like, fuck. You know? And by the way, there should be something, if you're born and raised in Austin, you should have some free pass on this.
You know what? That's a great business idea for you. You should make a bumper sticker.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure that's gonna work, Jeff.
Like, it says, like, no, I'm not saying it's gonna work, but you can make some money off of it. People will be like, yeah, I'm gonna buy this sticker.
Yeah,
Austin through and through.
Well, maybe one of the guys had Oregon plates. He's like, fuck you, and I'm like, fuck me. You're on the wrong.
Like. there's definitely something about driving where, like, obviously you're more comfortable, or maybe, like, you know, because you live there, like, you feel, like, more entitled to the road almost, or, like, I know these rules, I know where I'm going, so you can, you know, lay on the horn a little more. I can't imagine, like, breaking a traffic law, like a written and unwritten traffic law.
Yeah.
And then being in a different state with different plates and then being like, yeah, dog. Like,
yeah, dog. Yeah. And by the way, I felt entitled probably in the late 90s here. I don't now. Like, I realize what Austin is. And by the way, for me in real estate, it's great business.
Right.
So, like, I'm, and also I meet people like you. Like, I would say this 80 to 85% of the people I've met who have moved here, I'm glad y'all moved here. Welcome. My dad moved here from Chicago in 75. Like, it's not like all my family is all born. My mom and their family is all born and raised in Austin. But like Austin's always been a transplant city. That's the reality. But I want you and the good ones to come, which are a majority. And let's fucking shoo away the douchebags.
No jabroni policy for Austin.
No jabroni, man. All right. Do you have someone coming in for 4 o'clock? Or are we done now?
Oh, I think we're wrapping it up now.
You got anything else, man? Dude, this was fun. Like Trey always told me, I met you with Bob. I'm like, dude, I was like, I really like him. He's fucking good. He's like, dude, you don't say that about him. I'm like, well, I do. He's like, no, but you're pretty judicious. And I'm like, dude, Barker's really fucking good. And we should go hang out for sure, but we should do this again.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. This is a blast. And I appreciate you saying that. I mean, means a lot hearing that, especially coming from you.
Yeah, I mean that. I don't throw that shit out there. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate it, man. Good luck. Good luck the rest of the day out there on the roads for one. I don't know if this is somewhere where you're going somewhere, if it's here in the house, but
it's downtown and I'm meeting Trey for a comedy show and the parking is so bad downtown and I'm luckily close enough that I'm just going to Uber down there. So, I've got going to Pêche. You ever been there? The French place?
No.
I've got an investor and a buddy. So we're going to go, it's a good French place. We're going to go eat down there. And then Trey is meeting me for a comedy show that he called me about this morning. He was like, you got to go see this guy. I'm like, I'll be down there. He was like, perfect. I'm like, well, you know.
Nice.
He lives way up north. So I'm like, dude, I'm going to Uber down there. He's like, I'll drop you off on the way back. I'm like, perfect.
Sounds good. Awesome.
Let's go meet up, go to like Dean's or Red Ash or whatever soon. All right, man.
Hell yeah. Awesome, KD. Well, this was a good time, man. Let's do it again soon for sure.
A lot of fun, man. That was a quick hour.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
See you, brother.